This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. This is your host, Charles Giuliani, again. Today we have two very interesting guests. We have Tex Mars, a longtime friend of mine. I guess I can call you a friend now, Tex. I've interviewed you enough times over the years. I've read enough of your books. Tex Mars is a very intensive researcher on a whole lot of subjects, mostly pertaining to the ongoing conspiracy for world government. We'll get into some of that in the course of the interview. We're also going to be talking with Bridge Ann. For those of you not familiar with her, I believe it was, 2 years ago, Bridge, that you first put this genealogy together?
I started when I was 10 years old.
Oh, when you were 10?
Yes, but I'm 14 now.
You're 14 now, but you finished it, what, a couple of years ago, or...?
Well, the project took me it took me all summer long to compile the data together. But I
thought I remembered.
Sorry, there's just a really bad echo.
Oh, it shouldn't be doing that. I'm not hearing an echo on my end. I don't know, maybe in the studio they can, you're hearing yourself echo, you mean?
Yes.
Huh. Well, I'm certainly not hearing it, so hopefully...
Charles, this is Tex. I hear Bridge Ann real well. Maybe it is just from her area, but I hear her and you both very, very
are you,
good.
Are you tuned into to the radio program on the Internet? Maybe that's doing
no,
it.
No.
You're just
I'm
on
not.
The phone?
Yes.
Huh.
But that's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I started the project when I was 10. And so it's been about 3.5 years now since I've started my chart for President Obama showing his relationship to all of the other presidents.
Right. Essentially, let me just, for people that don't know, what Bridge Ann did, and this is fantastic. This is beyond what most adults have even thought of. She went ahead and put a genealogy chart together and showed that literally every president, with the exception of only one, has been related to British royalty. Every single... In fact, what was the exception to that, Bridge Ann?
The only one who is not related is Martin Van Buren. But of course he is related if you go down further in the lineage. He's just not related to King John Lackland Plantagenet.
But all the rest of the presidents
through
are.
A direct line.
Right.
Yes, all of them are related, besides Martin Van Buren, through John Lackland as their common ancestor.
That's absolutely fascinating. And, of course, that tells us a lot about the people that have been running our country. You know, this seems to be some little private club going on, wouldn't you say?
Well, some people can believe it's a conspiracy, and some people can believe it's a coincidence.
That's a pretty incredible coincidence. Let me ask you, what got you started to do this in the first place?
Well, when I was 10 years old, I started college, and I was taking French classes, and one of our assignments was to research our own family lineage. And my grandfather has been doing genealogy for over 60 years. And so he passed his work down to me, and I went through my lineage for the project, and then I decided to do the president's lineage, and I started with George Washington, and I just started finding a common link throughout the work.
So you started college at 10?
Yes.
Taking French.
I started with a French class.
Wow. So obviously, you must fall into the category of a prodigy. Is that correct?
Well, we're all geniuses in different ways is my philosophy.
Well, to be taking French at 10 years old, that goes beyond most, genius categories I can think of. That's pretty amazing. What do you think of that text? That's astonishing.
Yeah, it really is. I'm quite impressed with what Bridget-Anne is saying and the fact that she started college. And so have you finished college, or where are you at in your educational attainment right now, Bridget-Anne? I'm just curious. I hope you don't mind me asking her that, Charles.
No, sure.
Well, right now in my education, I'm in high school, and I'm taking AP classes, so that is one of the reasons I'm not in college at the current moment, but I'm working on it as I go along.
So you've been taking, like, college classes as you
yes,
go along?
Yes, college
yeah,
classes.
Yeah, okay, sure. Wow.
What are you planning to major on? What do you, at this early age, do you have a life's work planned out or that you're at least contemplating?
Well, I want to do a job that helps people in some way or just wherever life leads me. And so I'm not really sure yet, but I'll find out soon enough.
Don't work at Goldman Sachs. You won't be
able
to do that.
That might be good, because Bridget-Anne seems to be an honest person who wants to do good for mankind.
Sure.
And sometimes you go to a place like Goldman Sachs, one of the most corrupt and yet powerful financial institutions in the world. Maybe she could get to the bottom of what's really going on inside the structure there and how
it
relates
to... She has a good bulletproof vest on.
Yes, that's true. Well, she seems pretty able to take care of herself.
Bridget-Anne, I saw an article about you actually. Oh, I guess a month ago. I think it was in the BBC on their webpage, and it mentioned you as a 12-year-old. I don't remember the date of it, so maybe this was a couple years ago. That did you recall the BBC? Did they interview you or?
Yes, BBC has interviewed me before. Lots of various networks, even television, has interviewed me, and I even have some of my own articles up on weareallrelated.com.
Oh, okay. So you have a website. That's definitely something I'm going to have to look at. I haven't even seen that myself. What is it? Again, weareallrelated?
Weareallrelated.com.
Excellent. Wow, that's... tell me, have you actually ever met any presidents, Obama or any previous presidents?
Well, that is one of my goals, to meet President Obama, which is why I have the chart. And I have this huge, amazing chart that I want to send to him, which is also shown on my website. And what I want to do is have that be a gift from the American people and all the people who have helped me on this journey.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know what he would say if you asked him, did you know you had these relatives? I wonder what his answer would be. That's very interesting.
I'm not really sure, but I'd hope to find out, even if it's not during this administration, maybe even the next president.
Have you ever heard of Tex-Mars, Bridget-Anne?
I was looking at some of his articles online.
Because he's actually done a lot of research similar to the stuff you're talking about and come to the same conclusions that, there has been this, because as I'm sure you know, the British royal family itself has been interrelated with a lot of other royal families around Europe. So certainly that has been something that they've kept in the family, ruling the nations of Europe all down through the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages. And so now to make this connection with American presidents, that's very astonishing, because now that shows that this interrelationship of royalty, if you will, still continues into our day, into our own country.
Yes.
So, you'd have to ask.
A lot of people came from England.
Right. But, you have to ask, is this something that, is conspiratorial in nature? What do you think, Tex?
Well, there are people out there, pretty intelligent people, maybe not as much as Bridget-Anne, who actually believed at one time that Prince Charles was so powerful in the royal family that he would become the Antichrist, Bible prophecy. And there are people today that believe that Prince William will be the Antichrist. So There are a lot of strange things about the royal family. On the other hand, there are people who say that the royal family of England really are a bunch of dunces, and they're not capable of governing Buckingham Palace, let alone the world. So, but it is interesting what Georgianne has uncovered, that there is a connection here, blood-wise, of all these people. And in my research, the only thing that is more thick, you know, they always say that blood is more thick than water. The only thing more thick than blood is money. And so sometimes even blood fights and wars among its own members or its own tribe.
Sure.
In pursuit of more and more money, you know, which will, of course, convey into world power. But I don't really go along with many people who believe that the royal family of England is at the very crux of a global conspiracy. But certainly they have certain powers. They're respected around the world by the Commonwealth nations and so forth. England itself is quite a power. And then they're involved in a great number of world organizations. You know, even Prince Philip, Queen Elizabeth's husband, is head of was until recently, the World Life Fund, very much into environmentalism, as is Prince Charles. So I don't see them as really a lot of power potential. I find it interesting what Georgianne has found. Here's the question I have. Could you throw up just 20 people at random? You know, could I go out and maybe choose 20 governors or 20 congressmen or 20 CEOs of large companies and still find the same connections as she has found with these presidents?
Have you ever pursued that?
In other words, it is my chance.
It's Bridgeanne, by the way. Bridge, as in, you know, across a river. Bridgeanne. Have you ever looked into that, Bridgeanne? Have you gone beyond the presidents to try to see if maybe there's some connection with congressmen as well? That would be interesting.
Well, right now I've been looking at Mitt Romney's line, and one thing interesting about his line is that based on the historical pattern established by the prior presidents, Mitt Romney was actually likely to win this Republican nomination because his direct genealogical line goes back to John Plagonet, where, for instance, another candidate, Rick Santorum, doesn't.
That's interesting. Now, I remember back in the 2008 election, one thing that came out was that Barack Obama was actually related to Dick Cheney.
Oh, my.
Of course,
oh, my.
Dick Cheney isn't a president, but being a vice president, that's pretty significant. Well, are you going to say something, Tex?
No, I was just, you know, sort of almost lost my breath to think that that he and Cheney would be related. But, you know, you never know about things like that. That's almost humorous, isn't it?
Mrs. Cheney actually admitted it, that they were like eighth cousins, you know, distantly. But nevertheless, there was a blood tie there.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Obama's 18th cousin.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, no kidding. Suppose if we go far back enough, yeah, like your website implies, we're all related. What's that book that came out years ago, 6 degrees or something, 6 degrees of separation? They claim that any two people, if you go back six generations, you'll find some connection. So in that sense, I guess we're all interrelated. But what you're finding,
is not just
random interrelations. They, you know, it's a specific line going straight back to England. So that's not just random relations there. There's something more going on there, obviously.
You know, Charles and Georgianne, what is sort of humorous about this thing, now Georgianne is actually using real research.
Bridgeanne. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bridgeanne. Forgive me. Bridgeanne is using, you know, actual genealogical files and everything. So she's got a science behind her, which I appreciate. You know, for many, many years, I've studied New Age phenomenon. Those in the occult world and the New Age that believe, you know, that they can contact their ancestors. you know, through the spirit world, or they believe that they themselves have been reincarnated many times, and during various sessions, they you know, their ancestors speak through them or something. But the interesting thing about it is I studied all these people that claim these things. None of them had just common ancestors. You know, they didn't say my great-great-great-great-great whatever grandfather was a bricklayer. It was always, you know, I can trace my heritage back to King Tut or Queen So-and-so or, you know, the Queen of Babylon. In other words, they always had some kind of distinguished party that they could be traced to. None of them ever said it during while they were in the spirit channeling. The spirits never told them that their great 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 ancestor was just an old drunk or a mop woman or something. It always had to be distinguished. I thought that was sort of funny, but again, that's not a science at all. In fact, most of it's just hocus pocus. But there are, again, you know, millions of people who do believe the spirits tell.
Sure. Something you said earlier, Tex, too, that I wanted to comment on. You were making the remark that, you know, it's not the British royal family so much anymore that plays any significant role. And I would agree, it's more the British financial power that's playing a major role. But of course, and I'm sure you'll agree on this, in that sense, the royal family still is important because they're, you know, like all politicians in the world, they're controlled by money today.
I think the Rothschild and the Jewish genealogy there in Great Britain, you know, they have connected to the royalty in many ways through marriage, and by buying lordships and so forth. And I think the Rothschilds are the real power behind the throne today. But that's not to say that, you know, that Queen Elizabeth doesn't have a lot of money. And, you know, every year she seems to complain about her annual budget, and they're not getting enough money from the parliament to do all the things they want to do. But in fact, they have some incredible stock holdings in various oil companies and such.
Sure.
And they have really a personal fortune over and above what the government gives them just to run the affairs of the kingdom, so-called, you know, their public life.
Right. I tell you what, we got questions that will be coming in periodically throughout the show via text, so we'll go to a couple of them right now. We've got one from Mike in California. He asks, Bridget, do you know if Obama and Romney are related? Now, of course, if they're related to the British royal family, somehow they are, but have you been able to personally make a connection, perhaps a more direct connection between the two of them being related? Do you know?
Well, on my website, wearealrelated.com, if you join my club for free, you can actually get a download showing the lineage between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, and they are actually 24th cousins once removed.
24th cousins once removed. Wow, that's interesting. So we can say, yes, they are related. That's interesting because... As I'm sure you'll remember, Tex, you know, back in the 2004 election, you had Bush and what was his name?
John Kerry.
John Kerry, yeah. Shame on me. I should know that. He's from my state. Anyway, you know, they were, quote, debating. But the whole thing was such a joke. It was laughable because they're old fraternity buddies going back to their Yale days, you know, their secret society, Skull and Bones. So it was laughable on that level to see them, you know, so-called debating. In fact, Bush even made a comment during the debates. He said, well, John, you can't be that bad of a guy seeing where you went to school. And they're both smiling at each other, almost winking like, ha-ha, you know, this is a big stage show. But, you know, this goes even deeper now if you find that they're all interrelated. It's not just that they're, you know, members of the same fraternity club. If they are in fact related, this is even more significant.
Yeah, and I'm curious, Bridget, to tell us also, is there a certain race or ethnic origin to all of them? I mean, when we say we're related, I mean, is it like, I know the British royal family seems to be connected to the Germans originally. You know, a lot of people think they're British, but they actually came evidently from German. Or are all of these... The ones you're finding related, all these presidents, everything, is there a certain blood relationship, or is it just English, or what, or German, or what?
All of the presidents have a direct line to John Lackland Plantagenet, which means that they have direct bloodlines through that common ancestor.
So is that French then? Sort of a French, a German-French relationship there?
Most lines have, it's mostly English lineage.
Okay. All right.
You probably have to trace his lineage himself back, to get a handle on that.
Is there a reason that these people also have money? You know, they all have money. For example, you know, Michelle Obama and Barack Obama would like us to think that they all came from, you know, Uncle Tom's Cabin or something. They were all slaves or something. But in fact, his grandmother on the white side, Caucasian side, who raised him, was evidently quite affluent. She was vice president of the largest bank, the Bank of Hawaii, there in Honolulu. So, you know, you can't be particularly as a woman. At that time, that was a very prestigious position. There were probably not a lot of vice presidents of major banks as she was. And then his mother was very much involved with the CIA. We now find out, I'm talking about his white mother. Now, that's the only mother he had, the white mother. Then supposedly the black father from Kenya. But his mother, Obama's mother, it seems, she was pretty well off too with the parents she had, and she went to a private school, very, very rich private school, first in Seattle, and then in fact she was able to be given huge grants of money to do her work in Indonesia and everything from the Ford Foundation, which, you know, you have to be sort of uppity and know somebody to get money grants from the Ford Foundation. So sure. Barack Obama, you know, with what Bridget has found, that he has some kind of a royal lineage linking, and so we know then that he certainly didn't come from Jesse Jackson origins, but his family evidently had some money.
No humble background, sure.
No humble background, sure. No. Except maybe even his father evidently was quite wealthy by Kenyan standards, his so-called blood father, although, you know, there's a new movie out, and even in my video, Rothschild's Choice, I question the patriarchal lineage of Obama, and a lot of people do think it's the communist, the Marxist, Frank Marshall Davis, who really fathered him, but again, we don't have the definitive proof. Maybe Bridget has some more proof than we have.
Oh, there's so many angles to pursue this. We have another question, another mic from California, question here. He was asking, Tex, if you could define the term Illuminati for the audience.
Well, I use the Illuminati to just include as an umbrella term all of those who are conspiring to set up a new world order, which may be irregular. And in fact, there was, and I think still exists today in one form or another, in many countries, an order of the Illuminati, and you can find it in the Wikipedia and encyclopedias. It was founded in 1776, very auspicious a year, we know, here in America, by a professor who was Jewish, but supposedly had converted to Catholicism, became a Jesuit, which is a sort of a secret society in many ways of the Vatican. But Adam Weishaupt was his name, but he had a code name. He called himself Spartacus. He worked with not only a few monarchs, but many others, secret society members, and setting up the Order of the Illuminati. And it came to the United States, you know, and as I show in my book, oh, I can't even remember, I've written so many, I think Circle of Intrigue, George Washington himself, there is a letter in the archives with George Washington said of the, quote, I quote George Washington, of the existence of the Illuminati, I have no doubt. In fact, when George Washington, our first president, discovered that the ambassador from France to the United States was working conspiratorially with the Illuminati to establish branches of the Illuminati in the United States and to base them in a Scottish Rite Masonic lodges, he actually ordered the expulsion of the French ambassador, a little-known historical fact you can read about. So not only did he know of the Illuminati, but he was very watchful for it because it was a revolutionary organization. Sir Winston Churchill in 1920 wrote in the London Illustrated News, a newspaper, that he knew of the Illuminati, and he said, since the days of Adam Weishaupt, or Spartacus, that means 1776, until today, that was 1920, the sure. Illuminati have operated. He believed they were Jewish revolutionaries, and the Communist Party was included them, and that they had gained hold in 1917, which, in fact, Sir Winston Churchill, World War II's Prime Minister of England, was absolutely correct. It was the Illuminati, a Marxist, communist, the Vladimir Lenin, Trotsky, and others who seized power in Russia, turned it into the Soviet Union, and thus we know for a fact that some
overthrew the Tsar.
66 million people yeah. perished in the communist era through the Jewish revolutionaries that had began their operations at least all the way back to 1776. So we have George Washington noting them. We have Sir Winston Churchill. So anyone who says, "Oh, I don't believe in the Illuminati," well, they're just ignorant, and they need to do some historical work.
Well, you know, the argument they'll use is they'll say, "Oh, there's no club or building anywhere where you can go and see the name up there." Well, of course not. But what Weishaupt had begun is still alive and well. So, you know, they can call it another name if they want, but it's the same conspiracy for world domination.
Charles, that's very, very wise of you to say that, because Weishaupt himself in his own writing said, "We will establish our organization under many names," in other words,
many
under
names.
False fronts.
Yeah.
So that even if one is closed down, we will continue in operation. So you look at organizations today, the Masonic Lodges of the world, the Order of Skull and Bones that you mentioned, that, as it turns out, both candidates for President of the United States, Democrat and Republican, turn out to be members of this secret society organization, the Order of Skull and Bones, that does have a building off of the Yale University campus called the Tomb, that's TOMB. It sits adjacent to New Haven, Connecticut City Cemetery. You know, all the tombstones and everything, you pass by the tomb, has no windows on it. It initiates only 15 young men, all because they have families of certain blood and money lineage. And maybe Bridget can turn to that next. She's doing a great job with this royalty thing. Maybe she can turn to the secret societies. And by the way, Charles, I never talk about conspiracy theory. I believe there is a conspiracy science, and I consider myself, I'm not one of the best, perhaps. I must say there are maybe people even more advanced than me, many. But I consider myself maybe a lower-level conspiracy scientist, because it is a science.
Well, what's interesting, Tex, is, you know, our media talks about conspiracies all the time, but it's always something going on in another country. You know, they'll talk about the conspiracy of Al-Qaeda. Of course, upon close inspection, you discover there really isn't any such thing as Al-Qaeda, unless you're talking about something the CIA established years ago. But in any case, you know, they like to talk about conspiracies all the time, but when they don't want you to talk about conspiracies is when you refer to them happening in this country. That's where they draw the line, and they'll call you crazy. But the reality is, they believe in conspiracies. They know conspiracies are real. They just don't want you to know they happen here.
Absolutely. They're really happening in every country. There's no doubt that there were conspiracies involved in the Great Recession that began, you know, in 2008, 2009 here in the United States.
Sure.
And it may yet devolve into the greatest financial crash in the history of mankind. the story.
Well, you know,
really
I mentioned Goldman Sachs before, and how much of a genius does it take to realize, hey, when you have the same people popping up as the head of Goldman Sachs, and then they turn out to be the head of the Treasury, and then vice versa, this swinging door going back and forth, if that's not a conspiracy, it's like what Bridge-Ann has stumbled on to. In fact, I'd like to get your opinion, Bridge-Ann. You mentioned earlier in the show, and then we have to cut to a break in a moment here, but really quick, you mentioned earlier in the show, you know, that some people think it's a conspiracy, some think it's a coincidence. What are the chances that you think that what you've stumbled onto is coincidence? Do you think it's a coincidence yourself? I'm just curious.
Well, it all depends on what you believe, because mathematical-wise, it could
I tell you what, you know what, we're really running over the commercial time, and that's a good cliffhanger, so why don't we break there, and then when we come back, you can hear Bridge-Ann's answer to that question. Stick with us, folks.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge bring humanity closer to truth and love. BBSRadio.com.
BBSRadio.com, your source to a world of inspiring information, removing fear through communication, engaging, powerful, unforgettable. My name is Spider Turner, and you can hear my music right here on the BBS.
Okay, folks, we're back. Once again, we're joined by Tex Mars and Bridge-Ann. And just before the break, I had posed a question to her. I was just curious. And, you know, if you don't feel comfortable sharing that, you don't have to. But I was just wondering what your stance was on all of this. You know, can you possibly write this off, what you've discovered, these interrelations with our presidents and the British royal family? Can you possibly write this off as coincidence, or do you think that there is some kind of perhaps dark, foreboding conspiracy involved behind this?
Well, it all depends on what you believe, but I think it could be mathematically proved in some ways if you just keep multiplying out two parents by two parents, and then you eventually end up with about 7 million people, and therefore, out of those 7 million people, there should be, like, connections and relations between those families. Or if you do believe in conspiracy, maybe even God could be the conspirator if you believe in that religion.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm convinced that you stumbled onto something very significant, very important, and I would encourage you to continue on that premise. Like you said, mathematically, there's got to be something else going on here besides coincidence. And as you dig more, this is something I found out, and I'm sure Tex can vouch for this too. The more you dig, the more you find out, the more you read, the more you research, continue with what you're doing. You're going to find out a whole world of fascinating things, not always pleasant things, but fascinating nonetheless, you know, as to how this world really works as compared to how we're told it works. They're almost never the same. You know, and as you go along more and more, you're a very smart person, Bridgen, so I'm sure you're going to continue digging and reading. And as you do so more and more through the years, you're going to find some amazing discoveries. You know, things aren't as they appear. It's a world of illusions. Wouldn't you agree, Tex?
Yeah, I really would. You know, I was just thinking while you and Bridgen were discussing whether it was a conspiracy or not. You know, in the book of Acts in the Bible, God says literally that out of one blood God created all the people on the face of planet Earth, out of one blood. And that would mean, in a sense, you know, WeAreRelated.com that Bridgen has as her website moniker there is correct. And it also tells me something, too. You know, as a Christian, you know, I go, and I'm not trying to preach a sermon, but it does say in the letter to the Galatians by the Apostle Paul, it says that if you belong to Jesus Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs, that is, heirs of Abraham and of Israel, according to the promise first given Abraham. And it even says right before that, it doesn't matter whether you're a Gentile or a Jew. And I think that's sort of interesting. In other words, you must be born again in spirit and in truth, Jesus said. And it doesn't matter what your race, your ethnic group, or whatever, because then there are really only two great families on earth. One is those who are unregenerated, who belong to the devil, and the other is those who belong to Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. And of course, you know, everyone is free to believe, at least in this lifetime. once they go into the next life, I think they will be, dare I say, illuminated as to the truth. But I think it's interesting to me, one of the great things about Christianity is it is not possible for a Christian, a true Christian, to be a racist when it says that you must be born again. So what profit would it be? Well, you're going to leave this body behind. And so really, spiritual renewal, rebirth, is the only thing that really matters as far as the heavenly powers are concerned.
Well, here's something I think all listeners could agree with, Tex, whether they're, you know, believers in the Bible or not. When a person has pure motives and is true to, let's say if they're a politician, and they're true to their promises and they do the best they can to fulfill the promises they made to the public that voted them in office, then, yeah, I wouldn't care if every president was, you know, even more directly related than what the Bridgen's findings have shown. I wouldn't care if you could absolutely prove that they're all brothers or first or second or third cousin. If yeah. They were doing their job that's expected of them, fine. That's a good thing that they're all related. Maybe they got some good genes going on in their family line. But when you see that they're all related, and that they have pretty much all consistently sold this country out and lied about their campaign promises, never having intended to carry them through, and that they have pretty much all come from very wealthy backgrounds and never have had any genuine interest in the poor or the working class, now we're dealing with a problem of a real conspiracy, and that this interrelationship does become a problem.
Now, you got a good point there. You know, even Jesus says, it's very difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And their riches seem to be a handicap because their mind, their heart is on that money and power. So these people, even the ones that Bridgen has discovered seem to be related ethnically in one way or another, blood-wise, still they differentiate. They're different from us because they're power-mad people. And I'm just going to make a point here. I've studied for many years on the subject of psychopathy or psychopaths. And I find where probably one out of every 20 people in society is a psychopath. Not all are serial murderers, but still there's a lot of psychopaths out there. I think among politicians there's a greater percentage. If you're crafty, cunning, devious, enough to become a U.S. senator or a president of the United States, probably you may well be a psychopath. And I think we've had
quite a few
lately.
Well, I think it's a prerequisite. Don't they ask them on their application?
Yeah, that should be a constitutional requirement. You cannot be a psychopath.
but what I'm saying is I
think they require them to be to get into.
Well, I see what you mean. Well, they seem to be that way. That's for sure. Well,
you were going to say something, Bridget Ann?
Well, I was going to say, well, what I believe is we all try our best to succeed, and we don't always do it because being president is a very hard and pressured job. You have to run a country.
Oh,
well,
I don't know,
George. It seems like Obama, he plays a lot of golf and pals around with, Beyonce and all that. He doesn't look like he's working very hard.
Let me give you a little head start, Bridget, on some of your future research. Ask some hard questions when trying to figure out politicians and what's going on with these interrelationships. And, ask where the money is coming from that pays for their campaigns. And once you do that, then start looking at who benefits once they're in office. And you'll see it's the same people. The very ones who funded them are the ones who benefit later. They pick the pockets of the public treasury and give it over to, the corporations that run the lobby groups that pay for their campaign finance. And when you see that that's happening on a massive scale, Bridget, then you realize they're not trying to do their best for what's in the interest of the general public. They are doing their best for what's in the interests of the very wealthy, powerful interests that support them. I hate to tell you, but that's exactly how it works. So I'm giving you a head start there in some of your future research. Wouldn't you agree, Tex?
Yeah, I really would. I think, when you're young, even when you're super intelligent, like Bridget is, I think you think that the world is more altruistic and more pure and sweet. But as you get a little bit older, you get a little bit more jaded and go, whoa, I better look a little closer, deep beneath this. There are a lot of cans of worms out there. And there's I remember I was involved in a court case, and my attorney said to me, so how would you like me to word this document, Mr. Morris? I said, well, just tell the truth on it. And he laughed at me, and he said, what do you want me to say? And I didn't get a hold of that. Didn't exactly understand him. I said, "Well, just tell the truth on it." It didn't seem like a problem. I was trying to get on with my other work, and he laughed and he said, "Mr. Mars, there's truth, and then there's truth." And it's sort of like Bill Clinton when he was asked, when he committed perjury, he was trying to say, "Well, it all depends on what is."
So
my lawyer was saying, "Well, what truth do you want? There's truth and there's truth." And then I started laughing because I realized, well, maybe he's making a point there. What I wanted was just a plain, unvarnished truth, but courtrooms and judges don't always accept that, and that's really a shame that the world is run like that. But maybe on the other hand, if we had more people, men and women like George Ann, maybe we could change things a little bit.
Bridget.
Bridget. I think sometime
Bridget,
before the
you're
show.
You're going to have to kick me, Bridget.
You must know someone named George Ann.
I'm going to write it down. I guess I was thinking of King George, the pompous king, And I know you're not that, so I apologize.
Anyway, we've got
okay.
A few more questions that have come in here. We have Susan in Arizona who asks, has Tex seen or been consulted on any of the History Channel specials on the Illuminati, and can you talk about it? Is this something that you feel free to talk about? Have you ever been on any History Channel? I guess they've done some documentaries on the Illuminati.
I don't know. They didn't quite name them the Illuminati. I've been on several. I've over the years, because I've been doing this now for about 27 years, I guess. And I've had numbers, of everybody from the French television, BBC, to, a number of those have come by and interviewed me and such. And then I've just been turning them down lately. But as far as being actually, I had one group that wanted to come in and do a reality show. you know, like Tex-Mars, you know, I don't know what would I turn
really?
Into a
That's interesting.
Type of Kardashian. I don't know what they had in mind, but they wanted to film me like 24 hours a day. What does a conspiracy guy do, you know? And I told them I wasn't interested in doing that.
Oh, yeah, they'll come in your home. Your whole life is exposed for the whole nation. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, and I guess they thought that would be interesting to people. I don't know whether they meant to make fun or what. Or, you know, because a lot of people think the conspiracy people are you know, off their beam or whatever.
That's when you'd have to get your make yourself a tinfoil hat, I guess. I don't.
Yeah, you really do. Or maybe they think I already wear one. I'm not sure.
Yeah, right.
You know, what's funny to me is everywhere I go, and as you can imagine, having been on hundreds, thousands, I guess, really, if I counted them all up over 27 years, talk shows. And so for my many books and videos, when I have doubters and skeptics about conspiracies, I always find that they have never read anything. You know, and so all I have to do is ask them a few questions to show really their total ignorance. You know,
yeah.
I'll ask them questions like, you know, they're saying, oh, I don't believe in conspiracy. And I'll ask them something like, can you tell me a little bit about the Council on Foreign Relations? When it began, who were its founders, where its headquarters is? Well, no. Can you tell me if there really was an order of the Illuminati back in the 18th century? Well, no. So basically, I find out that everyone who does not believe in conspiracy basically are just unlearned, unsophisticated.
I've never looked into it.
Some of them are idiots, not because they don't know, because there's nothing wrong with not knowing something. Look at all the knowledge in the world. I only know a little thimble full of it. But they think they're all buffoons and pompous people who
I've
like to claim that conspiracy people are nuts. And yet they're the ones that know absolutely nothing about conspiracies.
Sure, I've often been told, not often, but I've had a few people over the years say, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, okay, well, give me an example. And then you get this blank stare, you know. In what way, you know, if I'm wrong, I want to correct myself. Show me where I'm wrong. And, of course, they can't give you any examples. They haven't even looked at your work, you know. They're just condemning you because they don't want you to be right.
I have a book called Codex Magica that's almost 700 pages, and it's the great big encyclopedic looking book, you know. It's like the same size as five regular books, but none of these people read it, and they want to be critics. I remember I was reading a newspaper article about a book I wrote called New Age Cults and Religions, and the author said, oh, what Mr. Morris wrote about, you can find just by reviewing 10 or 12 newspapers. Well, well, that's absolutely insane. Because the stuff in my book of some 360 pages, New Age Cults and Religions, you cannot find in any newspaper. I had to go direct to cults and false religions and interview the leaders of those groups and such, and study archives at universities and go back to rare books and all kinds of things historically to find out. And what I did was unmask, exposed over 100 New Age cults and false religions, but yet people think, oh, there's nothing in this book because they haven't read it, they haven't seen it. I find that in the conspiracy community. That's why I don't believe in conspiracy theory. Although theory is fun, it can be, you know, all right. But there is a great science. You know, I've taught at three universities. I've taught political science. I've taught psychology. I find though there's more known things, in other words, scientific knowledge in the field of conspiracy than there is in either psychology or political science. So this is a more scientific field. I remember a very famous psychiatrist, R.D. Lang. He was head of the president at one time of the American Psychiatric Association. As a very old man, about 89 years old, he was invited and given an award by the American Psychiatric Association, and from the floor he answered some questions. And here's this man nearing 90 years of age or so, and here was a question he was asked, Charles and Bridget. He was asked this question: is there anything you know for sure now, you know, after all these years of studying psychiatry and psychology? He said, you know, looking back over the last 70 years. He said, I can only name one thing scientifically that psychiatrists know for sure. And they said, well, what is that? They wanted to know. There's only one thing you can name. Dr. Lang said, well, when a person goes to see a psychiatrist or a psychologist for counseling, they like to come back. They enjoy coming back. Yeah. In other words, they enjoy talking about themselves. That's the only thing he said scientific that had been discovered in psychiatry in all the years of his life. Isn't that sad?
Doesn't say much, does it?
No, it really doesn't, but I can name thousands of facts that I have discovered in the field of conspiracy that absolutely would make people's hair turn green.
I love doing radio text because it's forced me. I mean, I would research anyway. I love to read, but it's forced me on a much more heightened scale to dig like I've never done before.
Right.
And I found out in just the past 3 years more than I had ever learned in probably the previous 40 of my life. You know, it's just
true.
Amazing.
And history,
the information.
History becomes so much more fascinating when you discover the truth about 9/11, for example, JFK assassination. The Pearl Harbor, what really happened there? Who's really responsible for World War I, World War II? What's really going on in the Middle East? All these things, a whole panorama of information and knowledge opens up to conspiracy scientists.
Bridge-Ann, you have it in your blood, I can tell already. You love to dig, you love to research. You've got quite an adventure ahead of you. You're probably going to find yourself, if you haven't been doing this already, keeping a pad of paper handy and always taking notes. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I got to go to my computer and type something up really quick because I get an idea in my head. It can drive you crazy sometimes because it becomes so, an obsession. But it's a good obsession because I'm sharing this information and it's very eye-opening.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I love to research.
If I ever do get sleep, that is.
Yeah, right. So you do that too, huh? You find yourself getting ideas all the time, and that's
great.
Well,
when something comes to my mind, I always write it down or tell people on wearerelated.com about it to share more knowledge with them.
Excellent.
Hey, Bridge-Ann, I have a question for you. Have you been contacted by anybody and asked to write a book about this?
Well, right now I have I've been writing a book in the process of the lineage of the presidents and all of the source documents. And right now on the website, I have a small portion of that available.
Well, great. Well, I hope you'll get in touch with some New York agent or something and let them know about this. Because I think it'd make a great book, and and help you make money too. There's nothing wrong with making money from a book like that, but you'd increase the world's knowledge. Be very fascinating.
Yeah, I'll be your first customer. I'd love to read
Me
that.
Me too. I'll buy
a copy. I'm certainly going to check our website out. It's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
We've got several more questions here. We're not going to have time, but one of them that caught my attention, simply because I think I know where the guy is coming from or what he's driving at. It's John from the Canadian Rockies, and he wants to know how many hits, Tex, do you get on your respective websites? Well, I would first like to answer that by saying Tex has sold millions of books. But did you want to make any more comment about that, about your websites? Or?
I'm going to be very honest with you and say I do not know. I never check. I have a Jerry Barrett who works in my office. He probably would tell you. The two websites, conspiracyworld.com and then powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com, I think, probably gets two or three times as many, just judging from my emails.
But, Tex, you've had New York Times bestsellers.
Yes, I've had three number one international Christian bestsellers. Of course, I'm sort of blackballed in a lot of bookstores today, but it's interesting. I still have, I hate to use that word, but a cult following. In other words, people still are fascinated, as I am, about this subject. They want to know the truth of what's really going on in the world. So people find out about my books from various, I put out my newsletter. And we're glad to give a free copy of our newsletter, either in print or you can go to powerofprophecy.com, where you can write us at Tex Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, and say, Tex, send me a free copy of your newsletter. And in fact, if you ask for it, we'll even send you a copy of our catalog. I'm not trying to sell anything today, but again, you can. There's
it's a good place
of
to start.
You can see
to,
and read
to research
on our
prophecy.com. Sure, it's a good place to start to research some of this material. Anyway, we've run out of time. I want to thank you, Tex, for coming on. Great information. Keep up the good work. And of course, Bridgeann, you've really stumbled onto something big. I think it's a lot bigger than you might even realize. You have stumbled onto a major elephant in the living room, as they say. And I want to encourage you to, I don't think you need it. I think you're going to do it anyway, but I want to encourage you to keep going on with this. There's a lot more to uncover. You've just hit the tip of the iceberg, but this is major. What you've uncovered is very significant, very, very important information. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you for this opportunity.
You bet. Okay, thanks again for coming. Thanks again, Tex. That's
thank
it for
you,
this
Joel,
week,
very
folks.
Much.
But
all
you
the
bet.
Best.
Have a good week, folks. Join us next week. Our guest is going to be Joe Montaldo. He's a ufologist and founder of the International Community of Alien Research. So that sounds interesting. That's going to be next week's guest. We'll see you then. Take care.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you. And